Hey, Mark.
Hey, Drew.
I know you have a certain soft spot in your heart for a magic-themed pinball machine.
I do.
That's right.
Is today the day?
Well, I wanted to give you a special treat. And so I looked up, you know, magic-themed pinball machines. Turns out there are a lot. I found 19.
Oh.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, you know, where quite to start. So I thought, you know what? Why not start kind of around the same time that my favorite magician started? My favorite magicians are Penn and Teller. Have you ever seen Penn and Teller?
Yeah, I mean, of course, obviously.
Yeah, so kind of the long-running comedic magic duo. We got big guy Penn, who's kind of the front man doing all the talking, mm-hmm. and silent Teller. I had the opportunity to see them in Las Vegas a couple of years ago. Like just
at the Rio, right?
Is that where they are? The Rio All Suites Hotel and Resort. I've heard that more times than I can count. But yeah, just a real fun show. I was kind of taken aback at the end, though. I was walking out, and they were out there kind of greeting fans, like, by the exit of the theater.
Really?
Yeah, no, and that's great. They're very personable, really cool. And I didn't stand in the line to meet them, but, I walked past and kind of had a little brush with fame, I guess. But the most shocking thing of all was that Teller, the normally silent one, was just sitting there talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually – it's like his onstage character persona, because he's given a number of interviews,
yeah,
even about, you know, some of his artistry and like why he chose to be silent. And I think it boils down to really he wants the magic and the artistry to speak for itself. So like it started as like a self-imposed limitation and has only helped strengthen a lot of the stuff he does, right? I can imagine there's a famous act he does, if you can think about it, where there's a rose and behind him is like an easel and there's like a lamp in front of the rose casting a shadow of the rose onto the canvas.
Yeah.
And he takes a knife to the canvas on the shadow and he like starts to cut the leaves and things off of the rose. And as he does it, the physical rose in front of the canvas loses a leaf or loses the petals. And, you know, I think something like that is only really as powerful as it is, in part because there is no word said.
Yeah, I think that trick wouldn't have the same appeal, the same power, if Penn, the bombastic loud one, was doing it and kind of like making jokes the whole time.
Right.
But you need both. You need the chocolate and the peanut butter. So I think that they have just like a great bit. I'm a big fan. And they've been doing it a long time. So that commitment to the bit is very impressive. So I guess my trivia question for you, how long do you think they've been doing it? We're in 2024 now. When do you think they started performing together?
Shoot for the captive ball.
When do you think they started performing together?
That's a good question. I think they started like, I don't know. In my head, they started in the streets of New York. I don't know if that's true or not, but it feels like I could see them doing like the three-card Monty and the cup and ball trick on the streets in the 70s when everything is especially, I don't know, grungy and dirty. I'm going to say they've been doing it for since like 70, let's say since 74 and just do a round number that way.
So close, so close. I think individually probably, yeah, they've been performing a little bit longer, but they first got hooked up by, I think, a mutual acquaintance, and their first performance together was in 1975 in Minnesota, of all places.
Yeah. Really?
No real connection, I think, to either of them. They just were there for like a fair or something.
And, huh.
Yeah, so a long time. And that's kind of the, you know, the magical milieu that inspired today's pinball machine that we're going to be talking about.
Is it Theater of Magic?
Oh, no. I got the wrong one. It's just Magic, just named Magic. It's just a pinball machine called Magic, of which there are like four. So we're doing Magic from 1979 by Stern, classic Stern pinball. And Magic from 1979 was designed by Mike Cuban, not the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. That's Mark Cuban.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Cuban designed Magic from 1979, and this is his first appearance on the podcast. So welcome to Mike Cuban. But we're going to be talking about Magic, which is by far I think, the oldest pinball machine that we've played for the podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we've touched anything that comes close to it.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, and I don't think we've even really gotten into the 80s, much less the 70s. So this is 1979, a very different era of pinball. And so I don't know. I don't know how to properly introduce it. I guess one of the interesting things to talk about is that it kind of bridges the gap between really old pinball and modern pinball. So, I mean, it has a lot of the hallmarks of a modern pinball machine. We've got left and right flippers, thank God. But it still has, you know, that kind of like arc launch at the top where you kind of launch up and it like bounces back and forth between two like little things before finally falling down. And that was a really common feature of like, you know, really old pinball machines that were really more like slot machines or pachinko or whatever.
Is that not something you see still today in like modern? I feel like that's not wholly out of the line of what you see in modern.
Yeah, I guess
2020s era pinball machines.
It feels like two things are different. One, like you don't get a lot of that like bouncing back and forth. Like you get maybe one bounce and then it falls, as opposed to like teeter totter back and forth.
I see.
Or a lot of times you can kind of launch the ball and it goes straight through, right? Like it'll go all the way around the top, like in some.
The fact that it's captured to go through like the top funnel.
It's like it's forced kind of funneled down into some like bumpers. And it's just like you got to wait like 10 seconds after you launch before you actually have any decisions to make. It's just kind of a slower pace of game.
Okay. Now, in this era of pinball too, are we in the era yet where like objectives have come into being? You know, I recall the first episode we recorded was about fishtails, which is from the 90s. And, you know, there are ostensibly objectives, right? You're catching fish. What are we doing in Magic? Is there anything, or does this predate that idea?
Yeah, I'd say we're not quite there yet. It really is just kind of launch a ball and get a bunch of points era of pinball. And, you know, in the old machines, a lot of times there were these like literal physical bells that would chime and that's how it made noises. It's basically like that. Whenever you score, it's just now there's like a digital sound card in there that's making like beep boop kind of noises.
Okay. And do you have any idea what separates a game from like Magic from its competitors of its time?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Is it going to be all like layout based and like where they put the drop targets versus where they put the bumpers and whatever?
You know, I think that they all kind of have the same basic layout. But I mean, there's some pretty cool art. Magic has kind of this sort of He-Man aesthetic going on that we can check out. It also has like digital score displays, which I think is probably like cool novelty that not a lot of machines had back then.
You know, as opposed to like mechanical.
Like a physical reel or something. Yeah, like a mechanical score.
Oh, that is kind of neat.
So maybe, you know, it was kind of the novelty of like that kind of cool technical thing. Other than that, like I don't know what to say about a machine like Magic.
Okay. I guess it'll be kind of neat when we go check it out to see just how does it compare from the pinball that we've sort of grown accustomed to. Right, in terms of the era of the 90s and later, right? Those are all the pinball machines that really we've reviewed here on the show, but that most of my experience has come from. So it'll be kind of interesting to see like what the roots of pinball feel like.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting perspective. You know, we wouldn't have the pinball machines that we're used to if there hadn't been a whole industry for decades leading up to it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, what was the experience like for someone playing pinball in the 70s and early 80s?
The last question I have for you about it before, you know, we can go check it out is, there's a movie that came out on Hulu, I think, last year about pinball in New York, and I think around this time of life, right? 70s or early 80s.
Yeah, I think so.
Where New York City had banned pinball as a game of chance because it was akin to gambling and they didn't want kids playing it. And then some pinball head fought it, I guess, with the city council and like, you know, famously like played pinball in front of the city council and showed that it was a game of skill or whatever. Is a machine like this, like the same kind of era machine that you would see in New York City in the 70s when people were trying to get them banned?
Yeah, I think so. I think that already pinball had changed by this point from a pure game of chance to one of skill. I mean, just the addition of flippers, I think, is the biggest, you know, the biggest change, because now you can actually affect where the ball goes, how you hit it. But, you know, another potential skill, I think, is just staying in the game long enough to, like, score a bunch of points. And if you can control the ball and be patient, you can...
Yeah, it is wild that pinball before flippers is still technically that game, right? Like, because it is basically just pachinko.
Yeah. So this is like pachinko, but with flippers.
All right.
Let's go check it out.
Yeah, you've sold me.
We're back. We've gotten a few games in on the old Magic. We took the time machine back to 1979. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it is a different speed of a game for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, even on the games when I was ostensibly doing well, I was just like not into it. It was kind of just like I just wanted the game to kind of, you know, get on with it already.
It's tough, right? Because like number go up makes my ape brain happy. But like at the same time, there is nothing guiding my attention. There's no purpose to the game other than number go up. And like, I felt like come ball two, I was already a bit over it. And this might, I don't even think I played particularly well, by the way. But like, yeah, I think that speaks a little bit of how spoiled we've become in modern pinball.
Yeah, I think the big change here is that it's not really, it didn't feel like it was designed as a game as much as it was a machine, right? It had all the had all the moving parts, and it had the sounds and lights that were playing at the right time. But it wasn't designed in a way that there was kind of a logical game to it, it felt like.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great way to describe it. And again, I think it just speaks to like, you know, you see this in music a lot, I think, where people hearken back to Elvis or the Beatles or something, and they're like, you know, kids who have grown up on other music and go back to listen to it are like, well, why were people so crazy about the Beatles? And it's because the Beatles set a lot of the foundation that has become, you know, modern rock and roll. And I think probably games like Magic helped set the foundations to what we know of as modern pinball. And then similarly, we look back on it and we're like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing there other than just like these foundational parts that you're talking about.
So for the record, you think Magic is like the Beatles of pinball?
Well, yeah, I guess. I guess that's what I am saying.
I think that Magic is maybe more like the pre-Beatles rock band that was on the Ed Sullivan Show like 1 week before the Beatles that you never hear about anymore.
I Magic is maybe more the Pete Best of the Beatles, like
who?
The fifth Beatle, famous. Well, no, the fifth Beatle I think is George Martin. Pete Best was the drummer before Ringo sat in. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Well, let's get to it. I think, you know, I can kind of feel where this conversation's going. Let's go ahead and get into the scores. We do want to kind of like have a common scoring rubric for all the machines. So we're going to talk about the design of the pinball machine, the theme of the pinball machine, and just the overall fun. But I think that it's really hard to fit this machine into those categories. So I think we can just jump right into it.
Yeah. And I tried to account for a little bit of that, I think, where I could.
Yeah,
in the areas we focus on.
On the design of the rules, I feel like it just feels kind of like a very generic pinball machine from the era. Like they didn't really try and stretch, you know, what a pinball machine could be very much. You know, we were already well into the era of having flippers, and it was just kind of like hit the ball around and score points. It just felt like that's all you could do.
Yeah. It was hard for me to know if anything about it was revolutionary for its time. But that said, there was like one design element that I quite liked and I don't know would have been super common. There was like, you know, you would hit different side targets or bumpers or like the top three lanes. You know, you could light those all up. And eventually, like that's – I think those are storing points in a bonus for you to collect. And there is a saucer in the top left below those three lanes at the top. And if you got the ball into the saucer, it would collect the points. And you would see at the very center, just above the flippers, is like a circle with lights. And it would, you know, the lights would kind of increment or decrement to indicate how many points you've collected. And I thought that was kind of a cool design touch for something of this age.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to think about whether that's like groundbreaking for the time, because at some point it was, but it certainly doesn't feel like it now. So it's just a matter of perspective. Like maybe this was some new
Yeah. I think my biggest note for design for me is that I think if you add some modern bells and whistles to this layout of the playfield, I think it could hold up. Like, I don't think it's so dusty and dated that it couldn't be gussied up with, like, I don't know, like rails and maybe an LCD screen somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point to talk about. Like, there really were no, like, multiple levels to this machine. No ramps, no rails kind of guiding the ball from left to right. It was just kind of like, what you see is what you get.
Yeah. So what did you have for design then? What was your score?
You know, I was pretty harsh. Yeah. I gave this a 1 on design.
Ouch.
Is the lowest I've ever gone, I think. So
I thought the design here was 3, and I tried to put that a little bit, giving it some generosity for its time, but also because I think you could clean it up and use a lot of those elements in a modern machine today.
Yeah, I just felt very lost as to what I was supposed to be doing other than just like keep slogging through the
just
game.
Just bash the things.
Just keep going. And there was no like guiding principle as to what to hit.
I think that's super fair, right?
Yeah. So that was not great for me. But, you know, maybe there are some bright spots later on we can talk about. We can talk about the theme of the game. What did you think? You know?
Yeah, speaking of...
Was the magic in you?
No, I thought, like, first of all, like, magic and then, like, what is sort of like a warrior He-Man theme feels kind of incongruent to me. Like, I don't understand why it's called magic. There's nothing about it that feels mystical or fantastical. You know, I think machines of this time probably slapped pretty pictures on it and called it a day because they thought kids were suckers or something. But like, boy, this had no theme as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it felt really kind of like budget He-Man. I mean, I had the exact same thought that like they really wanted to capitalize maybe on some of that.
Well, I don't even know if He-Man was a property in 79, honestly.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, but it's what it felt like. Maybe He-Man was inspired by magic.
Very likely.
I'm sure that's it. Yeah, but another thing with the theme is that I know they were working with limited technology for sound, right? We hadn't gotten to like proper sound or even music in a pinball machine yet at this point. But like they really made heavy use of these kind of like digital sounds that didn't feel at place with either the title of the machine, Magic, or the like theme of the artwork. It just was like a bunch of beeps.
There's nothing else I could say about that, really. I tried to kind of ignore it, but like the beep boop, beep 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 beep, it kind of felt like I was in a submarine game, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah,
it felt more sonar than anything.
Just kind of discongruent with the overall theme of the game. It's almost like they had different teams design the game, the sound, and the art, and the title, and they just all came together at the last day and like...
Certainly the theme, and I feel like the sound and the game design, it's probably like one guy. It's probably all Mike Cuban, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. We don't want to be too harsh on him. He probably made this machine by himself in his garage, right?
Yeah, like, right. Like, this, we're of that era for sure. So anyway, I mean, I don't have anything else to say to theme other than, yeah, incongruent mess is a pretty good description of it, I think.
Yeah, I still gave it a 2 on the theme because I liked the quality of the art. I thought the art was good.
What becomes a 1 for you on theme if not this?
I think almost like no theme, almost like kind of like imagine just like a blank pinball machine that is just like.
I mean, I'm basically pointing you to magic, like the like.
I guess the reason I gave it 1 point above the 1 was, and maybe you're right, maybe there's a 0 and that's the blank machine. But like I felt like at the very least it fits in with kind of like the tradition of pinball art that is kind of like. Some artist really went out of their way to like make this machine look like a pinball machine.
But does that put it in the top 40% of pinball machines?
I don't think that's how math works. Maybe the bottom 40%.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Words are hard a little bit. Either way, I put it at 1 because I thought, well, outside of having bare wood, there's not much lower effort you could go to.
I'm not gonna fight you on this, but the score was written in ink and cannot be erased.
Yeah, so. I mean, I understand how that works.
Yeah. Well, moving on, the last category is fun, and I think you're gonna want to fight me again on this one. Like the only thing I can say is that it just felt like a long game that got less fun the more you played it.
And, all right, so hit me. What did you put?
I put a 2 again because like to start it was actually okay. It's just that by ball 3 you felt like you wanted the game to be over.
Yeah, I actually agree with you on score. I think it's a 2 out of 5 for me. I felt like for a while it felt sort of zen because pinball machines of this era are so slow moving. Like the tilt the angle of attack for the machine is a lot flatter, which means the ball is traveling much, much slower down to the flippers. It gives you a lot of time to line up shots, think about what you want to do, and like contrast it with like a modern, I don't know, Stern machine or something where the ball, like your reaction speed is like very paramount to the game.
Yeah.
I felt like that for a while led to some kind of fun novelty and like a little bit of like something that I enjoyed about it.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I don't regret playing it, and I would play it again. But it's probably not one that would, like, make me go out of my way to find it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think, you know, the other thing that really detracted for fun for me was, again, that sound, that, like, beeping sonar sweep sound. Just, like, by the time I got done playing our three competition games, I was just, like, I was so over it. Like, it was so grating. Like,
yeah, we were in a loud environment, like a bar with probably 10 other pinball machines right there. And yet all you could hear wherever you were was this beeping magic machine from the 70s.
It was like the telltale heart, because you thought at a certain point, you were like, where is that? Is that coming from behind me?
like I thought they had a speaker hooked up to it like in the other room because it was so loud.
Yeah. And that ate away at me over time, much like the main character in the Telltale Heart.
Yeah. So, you know, 2 out of 5 for me on the fun. But
agreed.
Let's go ahead and recap then. You know, we always do a little competition at the end, play a few games to see who can rack up the most points. And in this case, I think it was just more, I don't know, like an endurance contest more than anything.
Yeah, who got worn away quicker.
You know, this just sometimes happens where, like, my first game was my highest score and then it just went down and down. Probably not because I was getting worse at the game, but because I just was getting worse at tolerating the game.
Yeah, sure.
So my highest score was 359,370.
Wow. Yeah, blew me out of the water. Each of my games got progressively better. And I think it's because before I was playing this one, I was playing a more modern machine and I had to like really slow down and like adapt to the differences in the layout of the machine. My high score was 237,640, which is well below. But, you know, that happens sometimes, and I guess that I just didn't have the magic.
The magic is within you.